It's time for the TSU Football Coaches Show, presented by Freeman Webb. TSU head football coach Rod Reed and host Greg Pogue break down the previous game and get you ready for the next one. The Rod Reed Coaches Show is also brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, the Tennessee Lottery, Wyatt Johnson, and the Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance. Now, broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, TSU head football coach Rod Reed and your host, Greg Pogue.
Good Sunday morning to you. How you doing? Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Welcome in the TSU football coach Rod Reed Show, presented by Freeman Webb, right here in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Jonathan Najjar, he is manning the control boards. Coach Reed, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
You doing all right?
Well, as can be expected, I'm breathing, so I'm doing all right.
You know what? I could have really been a smarty pants this morning and brought in some like cherry and apple turnovers.
Wow.
Is that bad?
That is bad.
Five turnovers, Rod, and you had three at Jacksonville State, all of them at bad times. And yesterday, well, there's no good time for a turnover, obviously. And the last one coming when you're driving to potentially, you know, tie the game or take the lead if you decided to go that route, and they just came at the worst time. Five turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, that's been our throwing inside the last couple of weeks. You know, defensively, I think we decided to bow up and, you know, get off the field on third downs. We've done a lot better on third downs the last couple of weeks and given our offense some opportunities. But, you know, we've been fumbling the ball at inopportune times, you know, in the red zone. I think we threw an interception yesterday in the red zone. We had a fumble on a big play with Roland. I think Chris fumbled another one, but he recovered it. And then to Kendrick is a kid who hadn't fumbled all year. And it was a good hit. The kid put his helmet right on the ball on that one. He's scratching for some extra yardage, and he fumbled the ball. But those are things that cannot happen, you know, against a team like that that's known for, you know, scoring in a hurry and doing things of that nature. You can't do that and expect to be successful.
And Murray State wins yesterday 31-17 at Hale Stadium. And you said something to me before we went on the air. You say five turnovers. That gives them at least three plays. If you after each of those turnovers, your defense goes three and out, that's a minimum of 15 plays. They run 83 plays yesterday. Well, do the math, 83 minus 15, 68 plays. You ran 75 plays. You knew it was going to be a high possession game anyway, because I know what you're thinking when you win the toss and elect to receive. You know it's going to be a high possession game.
Right. And you want to limit their possessions as much as possible. And I thought that, you know, I think time of possession, we were actually ahead, which we wanted to be.
Yeah.
Against a team like that can score quick and do things like that. So I thought, you know, like I said, defensively, being able to get off the field on third downs was big. We were able to keep the quarterback in the pocket for the most part. We hit him a lot. You know, I think we sacked him a couple of times. And, you know, that was the game plan. You know, their kids made a couple of plays on some deep balls. I thought there was a questionable call there on the first deep ball with the push-off in the end zone. But, you know, that could have gone either way, I guess. But, obviously, it looked
– You want my comment on that one.
Obviously.
I mean, it was such an obvious push-off. Actually, yeah. With the receiver Sappington, they called the very same offensive pass interference with
right.
pushing off later in the game. And I'm sure right. that was your lobbying or whatever you want to call your persistence on that one. Because, I mean – you
Well,
know,
every time you get two hands extended
yeah,
like that –
He
you
just
know,
shoves him
it,
out of the way.
It's something that – that needs to be looked at. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, we fought through that when we were able to go down and get a score and whatnot. But, you know, we just can't turn the ball over, man. I can't say it enough. I think that, you know, you look at their total offensive yards, they ended up with over 500 yards.
Yeah, it's 503.
But when you give them, you know, five possessions, you know, that's a lot of hidden yardage in there. If we don't turn the ball over, that's cut down tremendously. And they have 17 points off of those turnovers.
And, again, the turnovers really coming from people who haven't been turning the ball over. Cameron Rosendahl, three interceptions. He had only had four the all the season, and two of them coming last the previous game. So and then Chris Rowland, as you mentioned, he never fumbles, yeah. And Roberson, his first fumble of the year. So all five of those coming from people who have all year long taken care of the football.
Yeah, and it was no need. I think it was guys trying to make plays, but there's no need to press that. That game never really got out of control or out of arm's reach. We were in there the whole way. And had an opportunity. We were going to tie the game when we had a very untimely turnover driving the field there. But, you know, we've got to figure it out because last year we had 16 turnovers total all of last year. And this year we've had 11 in the last three games. So that's not very good. And we've got to figure out a way to hold a football and,
well, how do you
keep
coach
it in high
that?
Important.
Because, you know, I relate it to a basketball coach with a team's a good shooting team is having trouble making free throws. So do you overemphasize it and make them go out there and shoot 500 free throws a day? Or do you just say, hey, you guys are good free throw shooters. I'm not worried about it. It'll come around. How do you – or a balance in between?
Well, not only, we're not creating turnovers either. I mean, we got one yesterday. We need to create more. So I think it can be a give and take in all drills. We got to work stripping the football. Ball security's got to be a premium. When we do 7-on-7, even non-contact drills, always ripping at the ball. First guy, and sometimes you risk getting ankles, twisted up and stuff like that. But it's a high priority. It's something right now that is really killing us. So we got to do a better job of doing ball security drills and doing probably a turnover circuit to try to create some more turnovers. But the biggest thing is if you don't get any turnovers, you definitely can't turn it over. And if we don't turn it over yesterday, we're still a plus one in that category because we did get one interception yesterday. And we got a turnover on downs.
Yeah. TSU, yeah, and those are essentially turnovers too. TSU football coach Rod Reed show here presented by Freeman Webb. Cameron Rosendahl, your senior quarterback, 26 for 43, 312 yards and the three picks. But, that last one, man, that just – he got hit as he was throwing it and went up like a wounded duck and just, one of those things. But I thought, Cameron, you take away the picks. I mean, he was pretty sharp yesterday. Missed on some throws across the middle that he doesn't usually miss.
Yeah, and I think he got a little antsy in the pocket on a couple of those. Didn't set his feet and throw the ball. I know, Chris looked like Chris dropped a couple. Chris may have had one drop in there, but the other ones were kind of behind him and low. And that's just footwork, I think, with the quarterback. I watched the film last night and he didn't step up in the pocket. There was a little pressure. Now that's when you got to have pocket awareness, step up and slide to right or left and deliver the football. And he's throwing off his back foot a lot, and that's not good for a quarterback with getting velocity on the ball.
To Kendrick Roberson, your senior running back, 18 carries, 76 yards, couple touchdowns. Pretty much a career day for Kendrick.
Yeah, I thought that he ran the ball well with the exception of the fumble. I also thought Seth Rowland came in and ran the ball well. Also, so they've become a pretty good 1-2 punch there.
Yeah, 8 for 39 for Seth, average of 4.9 per carry, and to Kendrick, 4.2 yards per carry.
Yeah, and those two guys are doing a really good job for us back there, so we've got to make sure that we continue to get them the ball and, just keep hold on to it. That's the biggest thing, and that's uncharacteristic of to Kendrick. He runs really hard, but you just can't fumble the football in that situation.
Receiving Chris Rowland sets the school record with 14 catches. He had already had 13 earlier this year and 13 in a game last year, I think against Austin Peay. But anyway, 14 catches, 146 yards, long of 35, and 214 all-purpose yards. He's gone over 200 yards for the fifth time this season in all-purpose yards. One player gets you 200 at least every game, just about.
Yeah, I mean, and we've got to look at some things about getting Chris a little rest. I don't know if, the fumbles were attributed to that, but we've got a guy, Deron Johnson, that backs him up. That's a true freshman that does a really good job, and we're going to have to try to figure out a way to spell Chris on some plays to make sure that he's totally fresh in all situations, especially when we're driving to win the game or we're trying to, get some big plays out of him. Sometimes, less can be more in that situation. But you want to get him the ball as much as possible. But it's a situation where, if he gets his hands on the ball, there's a possibility that he can score.
Well, and Stephen Newbold, the other senior receiver, 7 catches, 87 yards. So between Roland and Newbold, 21 catches, but only 2 other receivers caught 1 pass. He didn't get anybody else involved on the receivers. Phillip Brown, the tight end, and Al Malik Moore, but Abdul Hakanosagree got in and played a little bit as well. And Latavius Harris is seeing some time more and more, the transfer from Louisville, but certainly, I would assume you'd want to spread that out a little bit more.
Yeah, we do. We need to spread it out a little bit more. Jatavius is a kid that's kind of just getting back from an AC separation early in the year. We're trying to get him back in because he's a speed guy that can really stretch the field. And, Al Malik has been consistent for us in there. He's been kind of the third guy all year long. And Sagreek's come on the last couple of weeks, made a couple of plays. And we were able to get the ball up to Hawk yesterday. We got to get him in some jump ball situations. He's a 6'6", 6'7", kid. When we get around the red zone, we need to try to utilize him a little bit more. But, we've got to make sure, again, I thought that we moved the ball up and down the field yesterday, but you can't turn it over. It's just I can't. You keep going back to it. The difference in the game. Anytime you got 17 points off a turnover. So anytime you get
and
in
you
that
lose by 14,
and you lose by 14. So it hurts.
Earlier in the week, Caleb Mosley, your sophomore punter out of Montgomery, Alabama, who is having a, I think, an all-OVC caliber season. He was leading the OVC and was 7th in the nation in net punting. Also had gone 7 games with at least 1 50-yarder or more, long as 64. It's just on and on and on with him. Yet, when did you find out that he had the appendicitis and then what, an appendectomy, right?
Well, Monday afternoon, I was told that he had flu-like symptoms and he wasn't feeling really good, and they transported him over to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, they said that he had to have an appendectomy. I think that's the proper pronunciation.
Yeah, appendectomy, yeah.
That and they were going to – his parents weren't there, so they were going to wait. And then they decided they better do it that night. So we had practice on Monday night, and after practice Monday night, I went over to the hospital and sat with him for about an hour. And his parents had gotten to about Huntsville, and he kept dozing off on me, so I told him I was leaving. But he had just come out of surgery. Surgery went well.
Yeah.
I saw him yesterday at the game. He was on the sideline at the game yesterday, so that's a good thing. And we expect to get him back in a couple of weeks. But his replacement, Rod Smith, the true freshman, out of Montgomery also. He did a really good job punting the ball for us yesterday, and I was a little nervous about a true freshman, and him especially, the way he was shanking punts in practice, but he did a really good job yesterday.
Yeah, 3 punts, 41 average, long of 44, and he got the main thing, he got all 3 of them off.
Yeah, all 3 of them off, that's right. So that's good to get him that game experience. Maybe he'll be a little more comfortable punting the football this week, but he did a really good job for us yesterday.
Yeah, and just good to get hated for Caleb and hated for you because he had become such a weapon for you guys.
Absolutely.
And flipping fields. And again, 7 games of at least 150 or more punt in a row, and that's something obviously you can build around. And it's he's a field flipper.
Absolutely.
He's a field flipper.
I mean, he's a weapon, and we know that. And we know that, if we get backed up, if we're kicking from our minus 20, we just got to go cover because he can get it down there, and he's been placing it a little better this year. So that's been a really big deal for us.
TSU Football Coaches Show presented by Rod Reed right here, and by Rod Reed and Freeman Webb right here in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. I called in that lot of names yesterday. One of them defensively was Josh Green, 11 tackles. The free safety out of redshirt freshman out of Orlando, having to play more because Ray Coggins, your starting free safety, was out with some concussion-type symptoms. And he came in, led you with 11 tackles.
Yeah, I mean, Josh has done a really good job. We had Ray and Will Hoyt out last week, and we had to get a guy in there. And Josh, we moved him from corner to safety, and he's done a really good job for us at the safety spot. He's come down, been physical in the run game. Probably could have been a better tackler yesterday on a couple of instances, but he's done a good job for us back there, and he's still learning the position. And I think once he really locks in on, he's going to be a heck of a free safety for us.
Justin Culpepper, 7 tackles, 1 for lost yardage, 6-1, 2. All right, we were talking about this with Albert Dawson on the radio. I think he's listed at 285. I said he's 2 biscuits shy of 315.
Nah, he's really well put together. Yeah, he's about he's close to about 290, 295. He looks, because his upper body is so big, he looks a little bit bigger than what he is, but he's a powerful kid out of Lakeland, Florida, and he's done a really good job for us.
Had a good game, 7 tackles yesterday. Was calling his name, Terry Strawder. And talk a little bit about your linebackers. Jashaun Bryant out of Cane Ridge, your sophomore middle linebacker, missed a couple games. You finally get him back, and that sort of calms everything else down because you were having to move people like an Epting or maybe even a Strawder into the middle, not their true positions, and having Bryant back and then, you know, then Strawder as well. Strawder had 6 tackles, and Bryant had 6 tackles and one for a lost yardage. So good to have him back in the middle.
It was good to have him back. You know, you saw some explosive plays from the middle. We had some blitzes put in for him yesterday, and he got a couple of hits on the quarterback, and he did a really good job tackling. So, and we were able to move Terry back out to his natural position, and I thought he played a little bit better out there at that position. But, Jashaun, it was good to have him back, and he was healthy coming out of this game. He cramped a little bit yesterday, not having played in about 3 or 4 weeks, so he had to get an IV there right after halftime. But he ended up the game with pretty good stats.
Well, we'll go through the TSU scoring here. Jonathan, if you're ready, I'd sent you those earlier. I sent them before I went to bed last night. TSU opens up scoring, a 12-play, 97-yard drive. 97-yard drive in 12 plays. It took 5:59 to do it, and capping it was to Kendrick Roberson with a 5-yard run.
Inside handoff, Roberson bouncing it, gets outside, he's going to find pay dirt. 6 yards by number 6 to Kendrick Roberson, touchdown TSU.
Oh, and give immense credit to the guys blocking on that left side, and it will be Latavius Simmons and Will James. Excellent blocking, great execution, 6 points for Tennessee State.
And all of these are courtesy of 102.1 The Ville, where you can hear all the TSU games. Murray State answers with an 8-play, 75-yard drive, 244. Sappington with the 11-yard catch and push-off for that one. And then Murray State scores again. Brian Sanchez, 5-yard pass as well, 14-7. Antonio Zeta, now, can you almost – he's so automatic. Is it? Can he be too automatic? I know he can't be, but can he be too automatic that it maybe makes you do something that you wouldn't normally do, like a fourth down and go for it, but you know that three's there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and at that point in the game, again, that game was never out of reach. So you got to take the points, you know, until you get into a situation where we did have to go for it on fourth down. And give yourself an opportunity to score a touchdown. But Zeta has been a weapon for us in the kicking game. And anytime you cross the 30, depending on the win, you got an opportunity to get points. So he's very consistent, and that's what you like in a kicker. And he works at his craft. So, the hard work that he does in practice and, afternoons with our kicking coach, he does a really good job.
Well, it's showing up in the standings. He's going into the game, he was 12 for 14. He's now 13 for 15, so this will improve. But going into the games, yesterday's game, he averaged, 85.7%, first in the OVC and 16th in the country, so that will only improve nationally. 2 field goals per game on average, that's first in the OVC, second in the nation. As well, and he's gone now half of his games in double digits in his career. So certainly Antonio Zeta. And here, we'll listen to this. Antonio Zeta, automatic from 39 yards.
From the distance of 30 to 39, Newberg the snap, Roland the hold, Zeta the cook and the kick is good. Antonio Zeta cooks up a 39-yard field goal with 2:52 to play, pulls the Tigers within 4.
I recovered. Did you notice that, Rod?
You did. You
I recovered, did. And I later said he cooked it up. Well, I was wanting to say cook and kick and good, and it come out what it did. So anyway, it's a wonder it didn't come out food, knowing me. But anyway, but right before half, that one was the gut punch. They answered that 6 plays, 54 yards, only 39 seconds. And you're sitting there 14-10, and you go into halftime. But that was sort of a gut punch right before halftime with 16 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a kid that goes up and makes a play. You know, I thought that the kid threw the ball kind of off his back foot and just kind of airmailed it up there. And, you know, we got to come down with that. You know, we got to knock it away or something. So that's something that, you know, I think we just didn't track the ball. You know, the ball has to be as much his in the air as,
yeah,
as,
it's
as it is.
Yeah, it's 6'7", that receiver. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It was just a jump ball, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a jump ball.
And so got that Murray, and neither team scores in the third quarter. Murray goes up 24-10 with a 41-yard field goal. And then a TSU answers a 6-play, 70-yard drive, 1:58 to go, and to Kendrick Roverson with this 3-yard run.
13 minutes to play. First and goal at the 3 for the Tigers. Roberson in the backfield, straight away running, straight up the gut. Touchdown, TSU to Kendrick Roberson, 3 yards. And he, with the extra point pending, pulls the Tigers within 8.
Yeah, they needed a touchdown, needed points, and they went to that bread and butter rushing play. And that's Roberson right up the middle behind the big center, Burton. And he was able to get it in the end zone. Tigers needed points, and they got them.
Well, and then you got the stop and had the ball driving again, and that was you driving to tie the score, or if you decide to go for 2 to take the lead. And then the third interception of the day for Rosendahl ended that one, and you just could tell the deflation of your team at that point.
Yeah, it's tough, and I think the defense went out again, yeah. and we stopped them and got the ball back, but it's just – it's tough to keep going out there over and over and over again. Again, defense's job to get the ball back to the offense, and we tell them that all the time. And I think, you know, for the most part, we tried to do that yesterday. But offensively, you know, we just couldn't hold on to the ball in critical situations, in any situation for that matter. You know, you shouldn't turn the ball over. So they had 5 turnovers, and we had 1. Didn't match up, and you're not going to win those games if you can't protect the ball.
TSU football coach Rod Reed Show presented by Freeman Webb. After this break, I want to go over some of the superlatives of where some of these players rank in the all-time annals of TSU football history, especially Chris Rowland and Stephen Newbold. They just keep climbing up the all-time record charts over for the TSU Tigers, what that great tradition is. And a lot of names are being passed. Golden Tate, Segree, a lot of the great Tigers, and that just shows you the place where Rowland and Newbold are in the history of TSU football. We'll be back, take a look at that. Also, a little bit later on the show, go around the OVC, and certainly talking about homecoming. Let me remind you of that. Austin Peay comes to town. It's at Nissan Stadium, 4:30, the kickoff, 4 o'clock, the pregame. You can listen to it on 102.1 FM. More of the Rod Reed Show from the Goggin Coat Hall Studios right after this.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7-day a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWebb.com. That's FreemanWebb.com.
What happens to your decision making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The moment I had kids, I knew it wasn't about me anymore. So this year, I started college funds for both of them. As a single mom, it feels really good to help give them a head start in the world.
Ascend shares our profits with our members. Last year, we gave back more than $6 million. What will you do with your share? Ascend Federal Credit Union. Open your account today at ascend.org. Ascend is federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, TOA.
What's that about?
The TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system. Prepare to engage in fun at warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Flash forward to the fun with new Flash Instant Games. Loaded with cash prizes, play today and you could win up to $1,000 in a flash. The new cash-packed Flash Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Game day is every day at Wyatt Johnson Ford. Our depth chart is unbeatable. Over 800 vehicles. Wyatt Johnson Ford, family owned for over 70 years. And every new Ford includes Wyatt Johnson's exclusive warranty for life. Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are Tiger fans. 648 Thompson Lane, Nashville. Online, WyattJohnsonFord.com. Non-factory limited powertrain warranty good at participating dealers nationwide. See dealer for details.
There's nothing like homecoming at TSU. It's more than the Tigers battling OVC rival Austin Peay. It's also about the week-long celebrations. From the alumni whiteout party to the scholarship gala. From tailgating to the game itself, TSU Homecoming 2019 will be one of the biggest celebrations yet. Saturday, October 19th at 4:30 at Nissan Stadium. For more homecoming information, visit tnstate.edu. And to purchase tickets, visit tsutigers.com. Go Big Blue!
TSU football coach Rod Reach overs it by Freeman Webb right here in the Goggin Colt Hall Studios. 31-17 loss yesterday to Murray State. Homecoming. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Austin Peay, 4:30, the kickoff there, and nothing like homecoming, and certainly in Nissan Stadium. Just going over some of the superlatives, just to get everybody where everybody is, you know, as they creep up the all-time records list at TSU. Chris Rowland, 214 all-purpose yards, 200 yards for the fifth time this season. Program record, 14 passes caught yesterday. With that as well, at the end of the day, just outside of the top 10 of single season reception list, and ended the game number 3 with 70 catches. Also entered the single season receiving yards list, jumping into a tie for 6th with Juan Hall from 1996 at 1,021 yards. And he leaped over Mike Jones, 934 in 1980. Patrick Smith, of course, who you coached out of Memphis, 966 and 216, and Mike Jones in 82, and then Patrick Smith in 2015 as well. And Stephen Newbold had 7 catches, and he continues to go up the ranks as well. But certainly Chris Rowland is going to leave here a top 5, top 3 receiver just about every category.
Yeah, and I think right now, you know, Chris is doing a heck of a job for us, and he'll be the first to tell you that those accolades don't mean anything if, you know, we're not winning games. He's a hard worker. His hard work pays off. If you see how that kid worked in the summer and how he works during and after practice, and, you know, he comes in and in between classes, he's in there sometime when we're in the staff meeting watching film. He'll bring his lunch over. So it's pretty cool to see how he works, but it's paying off. And that's the kind of dedication you need at that position to know how to get open and, you know, what you're facing and whatnot. So the accolades are very well deserved, but it's not – let me note that he's getting those accolades because he put the work in.
Well, and I'm even more here. Chris Rowland finished the game with 14 catches, passing a Weldon at Garlington, 2014. to me. I'm battling allergies here this morning, as everybody can tell. Tyrone Butterfield in 97, Barry Collins in 84, Patrick Smith 16, Corey Sullivan 99, Golden Tate in 1983, Lawrence Agree 93. Of course, his son's on the team, and Corey Sullivan in 98. That's how many people he passed in for single season receptions. Notice any, recognize any of those names, man?
Yeah.
And he also, Chris Rowland passed Lawrence Segree, Chris Johnson for career receiving yards, and he's now ninth. He passed Patrick Smith and is now tied with Lawrence Segree for career interceptions at 160. I think that's it. Is that enough?
It is enough. It is enough.
I mean, it's pretty and good for him. But as you mentioned, I mean, his dedication to his craft, it manifests itself on the field.
Without question. He's a tireless worker, man, and just a better person than he is a football player. So I'm happy that he's receiving all those accolades. And there'll be much more to come, but he's got to continue to have a consistent season and keep catching the ball. We want to get him all those touches that he's getting even more this year for the rest of the year.
Well, and Roland and Newbold will move on, and I look at these two freshmen that you brought in. There are a lot of similarities between and I know you're grinning right now, but if you look at Roland and Newbold, and then you're talking about Dayron Johnson out of Springfield, Tennessee, who helps you out in the kick return game, and then Deshaun Davis out of Quincy, Florida, both true freshmen, and both just in a lot of ways mirror images of Roland and Newbold.
Yeah, they are. You know, a lot of similarities there. Got those guys run good routes. Newbold, Deshaun Davis more puts you in the mind of a Newbold, but Fat Cat kind of puts you in the mind of Chris Rowland. That's
Fat Cat.
Deron Johnson.
Fat Cat.
Well, yeah, that's his nickname. that's what everybody knows him by. That's what I knew him by until we started recruiting him. Then I figured out his real name. You know,
but he's not. He may be a cat, but he's not fat.
Nah. I think it was a nickname given to his mom from what she explained when we visited when he was young, and he had to get some steroid shots and kind of blew up a little bit when he was sick, and they started calling him Fat Cat or something. I'll let her tell you that story. But he's going to be an explosive player for us. He does. He's one of those guys that probably Deshaun will probably redshirt this year. Dayron has actually played his limited games, and he will continue to use him and get him more involved in the offense.
Yeah, ideally you'd like to redshirt him, but he can play now.
Yeah, he's productive. I mean, he's caught a couple of passes this year and done some things in the kick game. So, it'll be good for him next year to have game experience because he's going to be one of those guys that got to step up and run one of those roles.
Also, looking around, you had all of your running backs. I mean, this is the first time every one of your running backs, man, you got obviously to Kendrick Roverson, McCulley, Sean McCulley was back healthy, Corbin, Andrew Knox back healthy, Seth Rowland, obviously what he's doing on the inside, he's your second leading rusher right now behind Roverson, and then Curtis is available. You use Curtis a lot. You trust him a lot in the pass game, don't you?
Yeah, he's got good hands. He's got receiver-type hands and good speed and quickness. Just got to get him healthy and stay consistently healthy. You know, every time, he starts to get healthy and start doing some good things, you get a little injury or whatnot. But we've got to find ways to also try to get him the ball. And he had a big turnover last week. He felt really bad about it in that Jacksonville State game. But he's a guy that can be explosive and help us on offense.
DeJur Nesbitt, his second game back, how's he coming along?
He's coming along. You know, you could tell he was a little winded yesterday. He hadn't played in 3 or 4 weeks. You know, last game he had some reps at the nickel in a limited capacity. But he's got to get, in football shape, in game shape. It's one thing being out there. It's the other thing, going every rep and taking a bunch of snaps. But he did some good things yesterday. He lost that guy early in the game, but after that he kind of settled down and played a little bit. And that was the one the kid dropped on the long pass early in the game. But after that he settled down and played a little bit. It's just tough for him and Dom Williams to tackle right now with those big casts on their hands. So it's hard to wrap and squeeze, but they've done a good job for us.
Well, Williams has been back, and, of course, Nick Harper, I think you're getting solid play at your corners with Harper, kid out of Ravenwood who transferred from Missouri State, and then Dominic Williams out of Knoxville Fulton transferred from Kentucky, and then with Nesbitt and Armstrong come on. So you're starting to feel that depth a little bit again back there. I know you'd like to have Will Hoyt completely healthy and Coggins as well, but your corners are certainly solid. solid.
Yeah, and we may have to, you know, kind of tinker with moving one of those guys back to safety because we're struggling back there right now at that position. But, you know, we just got to figure out which one that is that can be able to do that. So we'll get that one figured out this week.
Mekhi Brown missed his second game with a shoulder prognosis on him, because obviously you want that senior in there, one of the, you know, top defensive ends in the league.
Well, I mean, you know, it's either this week or next week. You know, we got a bye week after this week, so we should get him back at least after the bye week. I'm not for sure if we'll get him back this week.
And Emmanuel Olinga returned, was cleared by the NCAA, and he was out there. It's good to have him out there, especially without Brown.
Yeah, it was. We needed that fourth defensive end out there because, you know, we've been playing a kind of a true freshman, Clint Dowdy, some out there. Did a really good job yesterday. But with Manny being back, it helped with the depth that we have at defensive end, Justin Brown and Dante Ferguson.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it allowed us to move Jeremiah Kane back inside where his true position is.
Do you have more locals on the depth chart, two deep, than maybe you've had?
We do.
I think this is the most. I was just looking at it. And I mean, you know, I was just looking at it, but in local, I mean, you got Chattanooga and obviously what Memphis and all of that, but I'm talking about here, Khalil Jones out of Stratford on the defensive line, Clint Dowdy. This is what got me thinking about it, because he's a kid out of Maplewood.
Right.
I'm just looking around the other the local kids on the defensive side. Of course, Bryant out of Cane Ridge and Michael Bond out of Lighthouse Christian. Got that one. Nick Harper out of played at Ravenwood. Ronnie Killens played at Blackman. Larry Wilhoit played at FRA. Kenyon Garlington played at Brentwood Academy. Ray Coggins played at Wilson Central. And that's just on your two deep depth chart for defense.
Right.
And is it easier to – I mean, are there just more players?
It's a little tougher. There's a lot of people recruiting the state of Tennessee.
People coming in here from everywhere, and a lot of the OVC schools are in here.
And then you got all the OVC schools. You got three OVC schools in the state of Tennessee that you're battling against all these guys. I thought we've done a really good job identifying some good talent. You know, a lot of times, you know, you want people want you to recruit the local kids, but they're not the top local kids, and we got to get the top talent in order to be successful. And we feel like in those guys that you name, we got some pretty good players.
Yeah, and that's just on the – and then I'm not even going to go the younger ones that aren't listed on the depth chart just yet. But Josh Trueheart, your tight end, who's been out, played quarterback at Stratford. Jalen Gupton, offensive line. He's going to be a good one, isn't he?
He's going to be a really good one.
A true freshman out of Stratford High School, seen a lot of action this year.
Yep, he'll be a really good one.
And, of course, Chris Rowland and Seth Rowland, Nolensville, Ravenwood. We know about those kids. Lawrence Segree played at Brentwood Academy. Mm-hmm. On through here, Darren Johnson, who you really think a lot of, the true freshman out of Springfield High School as well, and Andrew Knox out of Siegel, Charlie Davidson out of Blackman by way of Mercer. I'm going to get them all here. Jordan Bell, an up-and-coming running back, Cane Ridge. Yeah, and so those are just on your depth charts. That's not anywhere down all the way through that 65-man roster.
Yeah, and it's important that you're able to recruit your home state, and especially in the Middle Tennessee area. Football has improved so much over the last, I would say 10 years. So it's good to be able to have some local talent. That's always good. So those guys have done a good job for us, and we'll continue to do that.
After the break, we'll take a little trip around the OVC and also talk about a local talent, a freshman quarterback here, and getting some things done at Montgomery Bell Academy. You know I can't have a Rod Reed show and not talk about Marcel, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. And it's nothing – I know you know, he's playing well. You should be proud. The freshman quarterback. As a matter of fact, the Tennessean did a big story on him. I don't know if you saw that, Tom Krager. We'll take a break and more of the Rod Reed show right after this.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The moment I had kids, I knew it wasn't about me anymore. So this year, I started college funds for both of them. As a single mom, it feels really good to help give them a head start in the world.
Ascend shares our profits with our members. Last year, we gave back more than $6 million. What will you do with your share? Ascend Federal Credit Union. Open your account today at ascend.org. Ascend is federally insured by NCUA.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 days a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWeb.com. That's FreemanWeb.com.
Game day is every day at Wyatt Johnson Ford. Our depth chart is unbeatable. Over 800 vehicles. Wyatt Johnson Ford, family owned for over 70 years. And every new Ford includes Wyatt Johnson's exclusive warranty for life. Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are Tiger fans. 648 Thompson Lane, Nashville. Online, WyattJohnsonFord.com. Not factory limited powertrain warranty, good at participating dealers nationwide. See dealer for details.
Hey, TOA. Hey, TOA.
What's that about?
Hey, oh, the TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
Here's your chance to play three times a day and once on Sundays with the Tennessee Lottery. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, your favorite numbers can win you anywhere from $500 on Cash 3 up to $5,000 on Cash 4. So plan to play your favorite numbers. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And save time using the convenient mobile playslip on your Tennessee Lottery app. Build and save your playslip to use again and again at your favorite lottery retailer. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
There's nothing like homecoming at TSU. It's more than the Tigers battling OVC rival Austin Peay. It's also about the week-long celebrations. From the alumni whiteout party to the scholarship gala. From tailgating to the game itself, TSU Homecoming 2019 will be one of the biggest celebrations yet. Saturday, October 19th at 4:30 at Nissan Stadium. For more homecoming information, visit tnstate.edu. And to purchase tickets, visit tsutigers.com. Go Big Blue!
TSU football coach Ron Reed, Joe DeRod. Don't be tearing up Joe Dubin's headset over there.
They were already torn up.
I know. It's. I'm surprised it didn't even fits on your head because usually you know we have to get the a double size for Big Joe's head. But anyway, let's take a look around the OVC. Yesterday, Jacksonville State, number 17 in the country, goes to Eastern Illinois, wins 28-20 there. And Jacksonville State now 5-2, 2-1 in the OVC. Zerick Cooper, of course, leading the way there. But Eastern Illinois winless, but put up quite a fight.
Yeah, I mean, there. You know, you watch them on tape. I've seen a little crossover tape with Eastern Illinois, and they're going to be a formidable opponent also, but Jacksonville State, you know, did what they had to do on the road. Anytime you go on the road, you want to be able to, you know, steal one. And to be able to go on the road and get a victory anywhere in this league is huge.
Yeah, and they ran the ball, too. 185 rushing yards, the most since last year. They have just pure running. Austin Peay goes to number 20, Southeast Missouri. Austin Peay already with a win over Jacksonville State, beat SEMO. So back-to-back top 25 wins for Austin Peay. And the Governors are coming to town. Javon Craig, you've seen a lot of him at quarterback. And I know the other quarterback out of Brentwood Academy has been hurt by injuries.
Yeah. Craig is a big, strong kid, man, and he can run as well as throw the ball, and they've got some good players. So we got to get in there and get as much film done as we can on them today. And try to get a scheme going and figure out what we're going to do against these guys this week for homecoming.
And then UT Martin goes to Cookeville and wins 55-14. UT Martin 3-0 in the OVC as well. So I was looking Friday night. I know where you were, Brentwood Academy, Montgomery Bell Academy. Of course, your daughter, a senior cheerleader for Brentwood Academy, and your son now the starting quarterback for MBA. And that must have been fun at the house this week. Or maybe it's even more fun because Marcel wins and everything. But Tom Krager did a big story on Marcel, and he's now 4-0 as a starter coming off the bench, nearly pulled out that Briarcrest game. No, you got to be awful proud.
I am. He's done a really good job, man. And, he has a really good head on his shoulder right now. Hopefully he doesn't get the big head or anything like that. But I thought that, just watching him play, he played with a lot of poise as a young kid. I normally they'll get a little antsy back there and do some things. He did throw one interception in the game on Friday night, but I think it was somewhere he was trying to guide the ball as rather than throw it. But he's done a good job for him, and he's led him four straight victories. So hopefully he can continue that.
And he threw a touchdown pass to a sophomore named Zach Herbstreet. Did I see a picture on your Twitter account with you and Herbie and the kids? What did I see? I don't know.
I think it was Marcel and Herbie.
Yeah, okay.
Zach is he's a junior tight end over there at Montgomery Bell Academy. And Kirk comes to all the games, and sometimes he'll have to leave early to go because he does game day. So,
sure.
He'll leave in the third quarter, but he always comes and watches the game. And he really loves Marcel, so it was pretty cool. For him to get that picture with him.
All right, get this. Marcel, the first freshman quarterback to start at Montgomery Bell Academy since at least 1962, and longtime NBA assistant Joe Davis said. Of course, Joe works All-American kicker at Eastern Kentucky, works with your kickers and their kickers as well. And that's saying something because of the storied tradition at NBA. And I love his quotes. Did you read his quotes?
No, I didn't.
What? You didn't get that right? Right at the end? Okay. So far, Reed, this is Tom Krager, by the way, the Tennessean. I love this. Reed is 43 of 79 for 728 yards and 6 touchdowns. Okay, solid. And here's the quote from your son. My dad knows a lot about defense. He was a defensive coordinator before he came the head coach at TSU. He knows a lot about coverages. He has taught me a lot about how to read them.
Yeah, we talk a little bit about that. Basically it's one high, two high, cover three, cover four, things of that nature. And just tell them kind of what to look for. And, Coach Uvar and those guys do a really good job over there, coaching them up and things too. So just trying to give them little tidbits on some stuff when it comes to reading the outside backers or what the safeties are doing and whatnot.
Football or basketball now, and of course he's one of the top prospects in the state for his class, probably the number one freshman in the state for his class in basketball, and Marty Uverard, and I like Marty. Marty's been around. I got to be friends with him when he was at Oakland down there and had that great run, but Uverard said with a laugh, it's football. His best sport is football. that's the football coach saying that.
Yeah, his best sport has been basketball, but he's been really impressive this year on the football field.
Sure
so.
Has. And he's going to fill out and get stronger. Let's take our last break and talk about homecoming week right here at the Rod Reed Show. Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 day a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWeb.com. That's FreemanWeb.com.
The moment I had kids, I knew it wasn't about me anymore. So this year, I started college funds for both of them. As a single mom, it feels really good to help give them a head start in the world.
Ascend shares our profits with our members. Last year, we gave back more than $6 million. What will you do with your share? Ascend Federal Credit Union. Open your account today at ascend.org. Ascend is federally insured by NCUA.
Game day is every day at Wyatt Johnson Ford. Our depth chart is unbeatable. Over 800 vehicles. Wyatt Johnson Ford, family owned for over 70 years. And every new Ford includes Wyatt Johnson's exclusive warranty for life. Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are Tiger fans. 648 Thompson Lane, Nashville. Online, WyattJohnsonFord.com. Non factory limited powertrain warranty good at participating dealers nationwide. See dealer for details.
Hey, hey, TOA. Hey, hey. TOA.
What's that about?
Hey, oh, the hey, TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
There's nothing like homecoming at TSU. It's more than the Tigers battling OVC rival Austin Peay. It's also about the week-long celebration. From the alumni whiteout party to the scholarship gala. From tailgating to the game itself. TSU Homecoming 2019 will be one of the biggest celebrations yet. Saturday, October 19th at 4:30 at Nissan Stadium. For more homecoming information, visit tnstate.edu. And to purchase tickets, visit tsutigers.com. Go Big Blue!
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
TSU football coach Rod Reed show coming up at 10 o'clock. Zach Williams, Jonathan Najjar, Fantasy Rescue. 11:30, the pregame and noon kickoff. Yeah, we got NFL action this afternoon with the Ravens and the Bengals right here. Rod, homecoming week, and I mean week. Right, it starts now.
Yeah, it's a big week on campus. A big week again for us. It's just another game. But,
yeah,
you know, for the community and the TSU family, it's homecoming. It's an opportunity that, you know, everybody comes back and kind of, you know, just hangs out and you know, rekindle all relationships and whatnot. So it's going to be a big week on campus. But for us, you know, we're trying to get a win in OVC. It's going to be business as usual, and it's going to be amped up a little bit. You know, this will probably be the only time this year that some of these people will get an opportunity to see the team. And I think that, again, minus, you know, turnovers and things like that, you know, we put a pretty good product out there on the field, but we got to learn how to put it all together and play 60 minutes and play complimentary football. So we talked to the team last night. We had a long meeting in the locker room after the game, and we got to galvanize as a team, and we got to stay together and make sure that we keep our focus and try to get our first OVC win.
And the parade that morning, the grand marshal will be Christian Abercrombie. Of course, the your linebacker who he's a walking miracle, quite frankly. Right. And how cool is that? He's going to be the grand marshal of the homecoming parade.
That's cool. He was here yesterday. Him and his mom, dad, Derek and Stacy, they were down. He's out there. He walks out with the team. You know, he's all out there in the huddle and on the sideline. So it's really great to see him and the recovery that he's made and the smile that's on his face right now.
Yeah, just a few other things for the week. The annual scholarship gala, the TSU signature fundraising event, is going to be Friday night at the Music City Center. The coronation of Mr. and Miss TSU on the 16th, the Breakfast of Champions, the Charles Campbell Fish Fry, the National Pan-Atlantic Step Show, and the legendary Homecoming Parade, as we mentioned, will be from 14th and Jefferson Street to 33rd and John Merritt Boulevard. So you can go to tnstate.u to find out, .edu rather, to find out about all that. Rod, good luck next homecoming. We'll be back in here Sunday morning.
All right, go Big Blue.
All right. Hey, as I mentioned, coming up, Jonathan Najjar, Zach Williams, next with Fantasy Rescue and 11:30 pregame, 12 noon kickoff, the Bengals and the Ravens right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend.